Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. I'm Ian Broome, and over the next 2 weeks, you'll get to hear all the stories from the roads and trails of this special edition of the Transcontinental Race, TCR number 10. Soon, more than 300 riders will begin an unforgettable, entirely unsupported adventure across Europe. They'll start with a lap of the iconic Roubaix Velodrome in France, before embarking on a 4,000-kilometer journey that ends at the finish line in Istanbul, Turkey. In this pre-race episode of the podcast, you'll get to hear from some of the riders aiming to become the fastest person to cross the continent on two wheels. But before that, let's hear from our race director for TCR number 10, David Eyre, who spoke to Lost Dots media manager, Taylor Doyle.
We're in Roubaix. How does it feel to be rolling out the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race?
It feels really exciting. I'd say it feels like a privilege as well. Being here in a place that is so steeped in cycling history and creating a bit of history of our own as well. I'm personally very aware of how fortunate we are to be able to do this and how amazing it is that we've reached the 10th edition of this beautifully hard bike race. So the route this year, I suppose, blends a bit of old and new together, but also puts the old bits together in new ways as well. So we've never had a start in Roubaix before, so a fresh opportunity to do something different there. The CPs in Slovenia, Bosnia, Çanakkale and Istanbul have all existed before, but in different places and in different ways. So excited to stitch those together and give riders that experience, which I think is really beautiful. I would say that finishing in Istanbul again feels momentous and finding a different way to do that as well. So previously, riders had always finished on the European side of Istanbul. This year, they're finishing on the Asian side. So again, that kind of twist to keep it fresh with a nod to something that is like so intrinsic to the history of the race is really cool as well.
TCR is a free route, unsupported race. That means that apart from visiting a series of control points and mandatory sections called parkour, riders can make their way to Istanbul however they prefer, so long as they are self-supported. Our race coordinator for TCR number 10, Andrew Phillips, shares what that means in practice.
Self-supported racing is a very special form of bike racing because it means that when we set off, we are entirely without outside support, which isn't available to everyone else. So anything which is commercially available can be used by the riders on the race, which means you can stop at a bike shop, you can stop at a hotel, you can stop at a supermarket. But what you can't do is ring your partner back home and ask them to replan your route for you, or to find you the nearest bike shop, find you the nearest hotel. You can't stop a camper van that goes past and ask to use their tools. You can't do anything that wouldn't be available to the rider behind you. And again, it's about ensuring that level playing field. But more than that, pure self-supported racing is about allowing every rider out there on the race to get the absolute most that they can from the race. Because until you find your limits, until you race to your limits, not just your physical limits in terms of power output, but your mental limits, until you're standing on the side of a mountain in Albania and the rain's coming down and you've got your 10th puncture of the day and you're trying to fix it and your gears are also skipping and you think you might need a new chain and whatever else it is, and someone stops and asks if they can give you a lift to the nearest town which has a bike shop, and you stand there in the rain and you say, no, thank you, I can't. At that point, you will find how strong you truly are. And by setting that standard for ourselves, by not allowing ourselves the easy way out of those situations, we get the most out of the race we can. We find our true strength. And that is what the race is about.
Time to hear from some of this year's riders, starting with the winner of TCR number 8 and TCR number 9, Christoph Strasser. At TCR number 10, Christoph is looking to make history by becoming the second rider to win 3 transcontinental races and the first to win them in consecutive editions. Christoph spoke to one of our race reporters at TCR number 10, Emma Cole.
How are you feeling about the race in general? Are you prepared? Are you nervous?
I'm definitely feeling well prepared, but of course, there is a little bit of nervousness every time because there are just so many things that can happen, and there are new countries we have to ride through, so it will be very exciting.
And how do you feel about taking it on for the third time, having won the past 2 editions? Are you going to make it a hat trick?
Of course, this would be my goal. But yeah, especially in unsupported racing, there are so many things that can go wrong. You can have bad luck. You can have, I don't know, problems with the bike, with the route, with everything else. So it's very hard to like make a plan and make a definition of your finishing time. So yeah, of course, it would be perfect if I can make it a hat trick. I think the riders list, so the riders who are going to take part in the race is really, really strong. So a lot of big names and fast people. So this will really be, I think, a special edition of TCR. All the names in the, I don't know, the first 20 like numbers are really well-known riders. And that's what I like the most. So, you know, there is the one part of the race which is just riding on your own, seeing the landscapes, taking on the challenges of the route. But the second part is just the competition. And I really like strong competition. And I'm sure that the competition this year will be very, very tough and very tight. And of course, Robin, who finished second last year, I expect him to be very well prepared. He has experience, he has the skills, he has the fitness. But of course, some other people like Abdullah from Australia and Omar from Italy and Havel from Poland. So there are a lot of very fast people.
Christoph is talking about Robin Gemperle, who is racing his 3rd TCR and has an eye on taking the top position on the podium this time around.
I noticed that I'm starting to get a bit nervous, I have to be honest. It's also quite early to get nervous. No, I think it will be good. Also I believe I'm better prepared than last year, which is probably also needed, because I believe at least Christoph will also have wanted to up his game a little, as far as I know him. And I believe I upped it quite a lot, at least physically. And then, yeah, we'll see. I think goals are clear. Don't have to change a lot to last year. I will still be like the fun guy who loves to chat with the media crew for sure. But all the other moments, it will be real business. and I think last year, sometimes I lost that a bit. I think it's a bit different this year. I know what it takes. I know that I really want to do it. And yeah, let's see if it'll be enough. My third really big race, and last year has been the very first attempt in actually going for a win in a major race. So I think it just makes sense that now with the third attempt, it's like chances are way higher than they have been last year. Sure.
Jamie Wilson rode a fantastic race at TCR number 9 and arrived at the finish as fastest woman. She's back this year to try and repeat the feat against an elite field and the largest number of women to ever take part in the race.
Yeah, everything's going okay. I guess like I'm training a decent amount, but I don't know. I think the more of these I do, the more relaxed I seem to get. At first, you're like panicked about everything, whereas now I'm just like, I mean, anything can happen that can like stop you from doing it, because there's so many external things, but I guess I know that I'm always capable of doing it. The thing is like, how fast can I do it? to be fair, I haven't actually looked at the rider list. I don't like to get too involved with other stuff because there's literally, I know it's a little bit cliche, but there is literally nothing you can do about other people's kind of performance. It's not like a crit race where you're like, there's tactics and things, like it's just you on your own. And then there happens to be other people that are doing the same thing at the same time as you. Who at the end you hope you beat, but during the process, there's like, yeah, there's no impact on anybody else.
This will be the first TCR for Cynthia Carson, who arrives at the start line having been fastest woman at the Atlas Mountain Race earlier this year. Cynthia is from the US, but has spent the last few weeks in Europe to prepare.
I'm here in Europe for like a month and a half before, so getting used to the time zone. Not that it matters because we start at night anyway, so but just kind of getting the lay of the land, understanding road signs, because as an American, we don't, when there's a circle with a bike in it, I think like, oh, you can go that way. Well, I used to think that. Now I know if you see that sign, you can't go that way if you're a bike. And I would say the thing I'm the most not prepared for or feeling unsure of is my route. I'm sure everyone probably says that. I'm not really somebody who spends a lot of time planning for races. I prefer to kind of just let the route happen and enjoy the route that somebody else has made. And so this for me is a huge challenge. It's still a matter of like deciding, okay, do I take this road or that road? It's overwhelming. I mean, 4,000 K is a lot to try and like put together. So I'm breaking it into chunks. I'm definitely nervous. I hope to place well in the overall as well. I'm not just thinking about the race against the women. I think in these ultra distances, especially over 5 days, like Fiona, you know, she took the win. Yeah. So if she can do it, so can I. That's how I live my life. If somebody else is out there doing it, I can do it too. I think it will be, I mean, it'll be a core memory I'll have for the rest of my life. And just getting the opportunity in a time where I'm, you know, able-bodied is just like, it's such a gift. And I'm really excited to see how it goes and experience the ultra bubble again and be around all the people in Roubaix. I think going around the velodrome is super special. Something, again, I will never forget. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good group of women racing and yeah, it's going to be fun.
The Transcontinental Race was founded in 2013 by Mike Hall, a brilliant ultra-distance cyclist who was passionate about the power and positive impact of adventure and self-discovery. Though Mike may not be with us for this 10th edition, the rules and the spirit of the race that he established continue to provide the foundations of TCR. Race coordinator Andrew Phillips.
It's really hard, I think, to overstate what the race means to so many people. And, you know, I can't really put that into words because it means something different to everyone. But it's inspired so many people to do things that have changed their lives for the better. So it's just a real privilege to be able to keep putting that on and keep making sure it runs well every year, and we give riders the best experience they can have and the best chance possible to have those amazing life-changing experiences. I didn't know Mike, and I have to sort of interpret his legacy from what I know and what I understand of the rules he left for us on the Transcontinental, from the people I know who knew him, and from his legacy on the sport as a whole. And I think what's kind of clear, what everyone agrees on, is that Mike was a real purist about the rules and about the spirit of the race. He really believed that it was more important to run a race that would be unquestionable in terms of its results and its integrity and its ethics. It was about doing the right thing, not the easy thing. And we have to try and bear that in mind when we look at our race results. Ultimately, if you remove the integrity of the rules and the results, the race itself becomes meaningless.
One rider who knows what it takes to ride and win the TCR is Josh Ibbett. He was first across the line, also in Istanbul, back in 2015 at the third edition of the race. Emma caught up with Josh as he prepares to ride TCR again almost a decade later.
I mean, I always had it in my head that I'd like to do it again at some point. I kind of either had 10 years since I won it, which would be next year, or 10 years since I first did it. And
yeah,
as it happens, I had it in my head for this year anyway. I did the Japanese Odyssey in November and I was riding along, just, I'd not done a road event for a while and I was just really enjoying kind of covering that distance. And I was like, well, maybe I should think about TCR again. And then about a week later, the finished location was announced. I was like, oh, well, it's kind of got to be then really, isn't it?
It's meant to
be. Back in Istanbul. So yeah, it feels like a proper TCR.
And so how are you feeling? Are you feeling quite confident about this year? I mean, it's quite a stellar lineup.
Again, that's another reason to come back, because it was 10 years ago that I won. When I first did it. 9 years ago when I won it. And the whole sport of bikepacking has changed an awful lot since then. I mean, even yesterday, you know, on the Tour Divide, Mike Poole's record has finally been broken, you know, by 20 hours with horrendous conditions and a longer, harder course. But yeah, you know, the sport is changing. You know, 10 years is a long time. And I kind of want to see where I sit now, because I haven't got any expectations of being able to win the thing, not against some of the guys who are there. I know how to win it because I've done it, so I know it is possible. Yeah. But they're a different caliber of rider physically, I think. So I'm going to have to use every single piece of experience and knowledge to do what I can. And that does count for a lot still in these events, especially a longer one, because I think it's going to be, I mean, 9, 10 days, probably around 9 for the win.
In recent years, we've made a big effort to try and improve both the sustainability and accessibility of Lost Dot races. That includes the introduction of the Green Leaderboard, which features those riders who complete the race having travelled overland to and from the start and finish, and the Mike Hall Bursary, which provides support for those riders who may have financial barriers that prevent them from taking part. David Eyre, Race Director.
We, I suppose, have made a conscious effort in the past couple of years to really address that head on. So rather than just like encouraging people to consider the impact that their travel to and from a race might have, I suppose incentivizing that in new and different ways. So back last year at TCR number 9, we introduced the Green Leaderboard for the first time. So a separate classification within the overall race standings, which recognized those riders who've traveled to and from the race avoiding air travel. So whether that's by coaches, ferries, riding to and from different places, it's really nice seeing the different ways that people have kind of really adopted that spirit, which is cool. We've also introduced the low carbon travel fund as well. So recognizing that not flying also comes with extra cost, and that in itself is a wider problem. It's not something, unfortunately, we can address ourselves, but what we do have agency over at Lost Dot is the ability to help offset some of those costs and help people do the right thing for the environment. In terms of the bursary, so the bursary started again at TCR number 8, and that year we had 3 bursary riders on the start line with us. That was extended to 4 last year, and we have another 4 with us this year as well. And we think that the only reason that someone shouldn't do this is because they don't feel ready to. But if you have the ability, your finances shouldn't be the thing that holds you back from participating. And this is a scheme that is meant to directly address that. So this year we have riders from the UK, Germany, Iran and Kyrgyzstan. Yeah, I think the fact that it's reaching, I suppose, like new audiences as well with that, and really thinking about like how the inclusion of the race can be reflected through this scheme as well, is something that I think we can be rightly proud of.
As well as our solo riders, we can also look forward to another exciting pairs race at TCR 10. Last year's fastest pair, Sherry Cardona and Garyon Tews, are returning to defend their crown. Emma spoke to them to find out if there were any changes this time around.
Are you using a similar setup to last year?
Myself, yeah. Four-hour road with the bags, going a bit lighter because last year there was a lot of, I really struggled in the climb, so, and I didn't need as many things so that I had in my bag, so trying to make it light. And he's going this year from a tarmac to a all-road bike.
Yeah, so I'm copying her setup practically. So this time we're on the same bike. This cockpit, everything is practically the same.
Matching.
Yeah. But how are you feeling about finishing in Istanbul? Feels like quite an iconic finish.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot of history to it. If looking at the previous editions of the race, and we've been to Istanbul, and actually that was the first trip we've done as a couple. After we met, so. Shortly after we met, we went for like a weekend trip to Istanbul, and so there's a personal component to that as well. And that was one of the reasons why we said, okay, maybe let's go back, because we said, okay, we're not going to do it after last year's finish. But yeah, there's a bit of a personal story to the connection between, okay, the first trip we went together and the last year's race. And
it made us stronger together last year's experience. So hopefully this year we survive again. Yeah, I think having a set of rules before the race and having the mindset I told him, it's not like, oh, hey, you go with me or things like that. So, no, we are a team. There's no you and me. There's only us as a team, because if you don't think as one person, you're not going to make it together, because then one feels stronger, the other one feels like he's dragging the other person down and say, oh, okay, continue, do your race, because you feel guilty. So then you split, and that's why a lot of pairs don't make it together to the finish line. So we always think, okay, we are slow as a pair, so what can I do to support the other person? So yeah, I move slower, but we move faster together as a pair. So I think that's... the team spirit.
Another rider returning after a superb showing at TCR number 9 is Tim De Vita, who finished on the podium last year. In total, this will be his third appearance in the Transcontinental race.
The first time, I think I was well prepared, but I was a little bit lucky, and I didn't find the right racing mode yet. Last year, I unexpectedly... did pretty well. I'm hoping, of course, that I can repeat that, but I'm realistic, and I know that if I could end up in the top 10, that would be a very great feat, especially looking at who is going to compete. It's going to be pretty high level this year. I think there might be a few contenders for the first place, so I think it will be a big battle in the beginning for the first place. And my personal experience was also during the preparation this year that it was a lot more complicated to come up with the best route. I think I spent more time than the two previous years combined on making my route. Maybe it was because I felt also the pressure, okay, I should not screw this up. I want to do it as last year, I want to be at the same level again. But besides that, there were so many options to consider and so many compromises to be taken that I spent a lot of time on the route, and it was really difficult.
Along with many familiar faces at TCR number 10, there will be plenty of riders who are taking on this epic challenge for the very first time. And some pretty fast riders too, including Alexander Kopp, who just this May won the inaugural edition of Lostock's very own, the Accursed Race.
I made a very late decision to participate. And so I'm just in the progress to plan all the stuff. And now I'm in the mood that I feel quite comfortable with all my stuff. But it, for the last 2 weeks was for me a little bit stressful, you know, to organize everything and get all the material and plan the route. The route planning is very long. So you have a lot of route choices, and yeah, and you can spend a lot of time in route planning. So,
and you've just won the Accursed Race, the first ever edition. And how are you feeling about them taking on the TCR for the first time?
Yeah, it's doesn't really count, I think, because one is the road race, another thing is the off-road race, the one is the fixed route. You know, they're completely different. So and I do the TCR for the first time, and for example, Robin and Christoph have done it the last 2 or 3 years now. I know the countries and I know what I'm doing, but I never planned such a long route on tarmac. So we will see. I think, yeah, I feel quite comfortable because I did the Atlas in February, then in May the Curse. So I feel quite comfortable to be in this unsupported bike race mode. But yeah, but this race is completely different.
As with previous editions of the race, this year we will have 2 control cars out on the road. The team will be there to help make sure the race runs smoothly, but also to bring you the best imagery and rider stories for you to follow along from wherever you are.
So in my car there'll be myself, Tomas, our photographer, and Emma, our race reporter. In the other race vehicle we'll have Andrew, Hannah as a race reporter, and Liz as the other photographer. And then we have the different photographers at each of the control points along the way. So for us, we are scouting out ahead of time where those really picturesque locations are, where we can capture riders, start to tell the story so that those dot watchers at home can understand how the race is unfolding out on the road. We will also be thinking about things like resupply, like where are we likely to find riders stopping for a little bit so that we can have a chat with them, get a bit of an insight into how their race is going. So it's not, it's not just still images, but it's like the kind of hearing it straight from the horse's mouth, which is always really nice because everyone's experience at the TCR is different, and finding as many of those different stories and being able to share them with the world through the podcast and through our social clips is a really important thing for us to do over the course of the race.
Race coordinator Andrew is also looking forward to getting out on the road again.
It's obviously an amazing privilege to be able to follow the race in that way, to be able to cross Europe in that way, to see the things we get to see and visit the beautiful places we get to visit. When we get to the finish line and we see how much those riders have got from the race, we understand what everything is about, what the whole thing was for. And that's an amazing feeling. And it's all always worth it for that experience that the riders get. And not just the riders, actually, but the dot watchers at home, and the volunteers, and the sponsors, and you know everyone who's involved in the race. Seeing that wider team pull together and work together is an amazing thing. And when it all comes together, I think it's unlike anything else on Earth.
Finally, for Pavel Pulaski, this will be the 4th edition of the Transcontinental Race that he's taken part in, including a 3rd place finish at TCR number 8 in 2022. How will that previous experience come in useful once the riders roll out of Roubaix?
I did Transcontinental 3 times before, so I will use some of my tracks, some of my routes that I've been using before also during this race. Yeah, but when you look at it from another point of view, it's like it's also somehow really nice. I have memories from, for example, TCR 2 years back that I've been passing the same places that I've been before, and it's always this kind of emotion. Oh, I've been here. It's nice. It's the memories coming back, and these emotions are playing during the race. Always with me, they're playing the huge role of how the race is going. I always remember them, and so this is how it is. And yeah, obviously, Turkey, I've never been there. This is totally a new place. Finished there. I know the Transcontinental finished in Kanakale before, so it will be really exciting to see it. And you know, being able to race top class riders, it's something that drives me to do the race. And I'm looking forward for a good good race with great, great opponents.
Okay, it's almost time for the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race to get underway. Join us for our next episode, where we'll catch up with more riders on registration day in Roubaix. Expect nerves, excitement, and great anticipation as our latest group of intrepid adventurers prepare to set off across Europe on just two wheels. We're all in for another TCR treat. As well as this daily podcast bringing you all the stories from the road, you can read Emma's daily race reports on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Unfortunately, since we recorded this episode, Cynthia Carson has had an accident that means that she won't be able to take part in this year's race. The Lost Stop team wish her well and look forward to her joining us on the start line in 2025. Thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apidura, Komoot, and Peak Design.